And you're listening to the Asheville FM News Hour. I'm news team correspondent KP Whaley. Joining me in studio today is Chase Harless. He's the principal investigator on the recently conducted Southern LGBTQ Health Survey. That's a report put out by the Campaign for Southern Equality. And Chase, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you. It's really wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a look. This is a very dense report, as we've been discussing. And so we're going to kind of take a look at this over the next couple of weeks. And we thought we'd start today just by talking a little bit about the overview and some of the findings that you had. So first of all, this was a long project. You did surveys of LGBTQ folks all over the South, right?
Yeah, over 13 states, yeah.
And were you looking for specific trends, or what was the focus of your survey to determine the health of our LGBTQ community?
Yeah, that's a great question. And a little bit of both, right? We know due to past research that more LGBTQ people live in the South than anywhere else in the United States, rest of the regions. There's about 35% of LGBTQ people live in the South. So we know there's a lot of, people in the community who live in the South. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of research out there about kind of the healthcare experiences, the health status of LGBTQ Southerners. So the ultimate goal of this project, right, was just to create a picture of what that looks like, right? What does LGBTQ healthcare look like in the South, and what do those healthcare experiences look like?
And tell us a little bit about the survey in terms of how many people and how many states. You mentioned 13 states all over the South.
Yes. So overall, I think we had about 5,600 responses. And it branched out throughout the entire South, ranging from West Virginia all the way down through Texas, and kind of every state in between, right? Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina. And really just trying to capture, to capture all 13 kind of Southern states and the LGBTQ people who live there.
Great. So do you want to just kind of uncover some of the key findings that you discovered as you researched this report and looked at the results?
So what we know from previous kind of research, while limited, but also just on national level too, we know that the LGBTQ community in general kind of experiences disparities when it comes to healthcare, and healthcare experiences when compared to kind of the general population. And that's kind of what we found in our results as well, right? We noticed that there are higher disparities among mental health. People, LGBTQ Southerners who took the survey were more likely to rate their mental health as fair or poor as compared to their physical health. They experienced higher rates of mental health diagnoses or negative experiences, such as, they had higher rates of depression when compared to national, transnational averages, higher rates of anxiety, suicide ideation, and also kind of, and also notable too is kind of the findings around HIV. I think nationally about less than 1% of individuals had been diagnosed with HIV, but we found about 5% of survey respondents were HIV positive, which is definitely kind of signal to us that there are definite disparities that we're seeing in the South among the LGBTQ Southerners. But that's not to say everything was bad, right? There was also positive spots as well. People did rate their healthcare, expectations, their healthcare needs are being met. More so, they rated their physical health as, excellent or good, more so than negative or poor. And they also kind of said that they were able to access the care they need, and they had positive experiences within the healthcare system. Unfortunately, that was usually designated based on privilege, right? So it was usually based on class, based on race, based on gender identity, right? So certain communities were less fortunate or had less access to healthcare. But, overall, we did see some positive trends.
Let's talk about a little bit of those disparities, because I think for an average listener, LGBT community is one community.
Mm-hmm.
We know that actually is that there's so many differences within the community.
Absolutely.
And so when you're talking about a gay white male,
mm-hmm.
Who is maybe even married and, has good health care and good jobs, a very different situation from a trans female living in the South.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the differences and disparities within each of those sort of mini communities within the community.
Yeah, and you're on the right track, right? So when looking at different communities who had, you know, more negative experiences, right, we definitely did see that among, you know, transgender individuals, gender non-binary responses, respondents. They definitely had, you know, rated their mental health lower, they rated their physical health lower. They definitely expressed more negative experiences within the healthcare system and with their healthcare in general. We also see that for respondents of color, especially among Black respondents, they experience higher rates, you know, of negative healthcare experiences, negative healthcare outcomes, and also people of lower income, right? Didn't have the resources maybe necessary to access healthcare or access, you know, resources related to their healthcare. And also we kind of see these disparities among individuals who live in more rural areas and compared to urban areas. So yeah, you're absolutely on the right line where, you know, people who are in these different kind of sub communities, whether it be transgender, gender non-binary individuals, respondents of color, people who lived in more rural areas, they definitely, their experiences were different when compared to, yeah, the white cisgender kind of privileged male.
And you mentioned class and income, obviously. Some of that correlates, not all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would assume that income plays a big role into that.
Yes, absolutely. And research shows, right, that, you know, in the South, that LGBTQ individuals are experience lower amounts of income, and they also don't have the same protections, right, around employment, around housing. They kind of have that security when it comes to income and kind of resource gathering. And we definitely saw that within the kind of responses, right? People who were, you know, making less than $15,000 a year definitely experienced higher rates of negative healthcare outcomes when compared to people who made, you know, $150,000 a year. So definitely income played a major factor when kind of designating what the healthcare experience looked like.
Mm-hmm. When you're talking about the HIV results, I found that interesting that we 5% suffering from a diagnosis with HIV. There's been a lot of medical advancement over the past, you know, decade. PrEP, as many people know, is a preventative drug that can essentially put you at 99% protection rates if you're taking that daily pill.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that the HIV jump or spike is coming from the communities who can't necessarily afford that. Is that the issue around there that you kind of found?
So I think that's a great question. And when thinking about kind of the rates we saw around HIV, right, there, one of the biggest things that we took away, right, was actually the lack of rates of people getting tested. I think it was about 10% of individuals didn't know their status, and also 40% of individuals, I believe, never have gotten tested for HIV in general, right? So to us, you know, to me, that kind of signaled that maybe are we having the right conversations around HIV, right? Is there, what stigma is associated with testing, especially in the South? You know, especially a disease that was very commonly stigmatized towards, you know, the LGBT community in the past, which maybe doesn't have as much focus currently, right? So are we having the correct conversations around getting tested?
Right.
And we're seeing, yeah, those were the startling kind of figures around, like, people not knowing their status, not getting tested. You know, how will they even know how to even approach treatment or what that treatment looks like if they don't even know their status?
Mm-hmm.
And we know in the South, that we see higher rates of HIV, about, I think it's like almost 30%, 35% of new cases of HIV happen in the South. And, you know, according to the CDC, about 1 in 7 people in the South don't know that they're living with HIV. So, you know, we have higher rates of diagnoses and also higher rates of people who don't know their status. So I think the first thing we need to do really to even figure out what that treatment needs to look like is we need to get people tested. We need to get people, you know, kind of informed about what HIV in the South looks like.
Mm-hmm. And I assume that the stigma you're talking about, like, is probably pretty prevalent here in the South in terms of the South not catching up to the rest of the United States in terms of their acceptance around just LGBT issues and LGBT people.
Well, I think it's just, yeah, maybe not just that specifically, but we know that, you know, within the South, maybe even looking at policies, right, that there's not kind of encompassing healthcare policies or policies for LGBT people that protect, you know, them in their healthcare experiences or really just in general, right?
Right. It would be difficult for someone to go to a doctor and even ask for the test necessarily if they're not out or out publicly.
Yeah. And I will say a lot of individuals when looking at, like, the HIV data did kind of respond to us and let us know that they did feel comfortable. They knew where to get tested. They kind of felt comfortable talking with the providers about HIV. But it was really just, you know, kind of shocking to see that individuals were not getting tested kind of at the recommended levels that they should, and also how many didn't know their status. So I think people know that that's out there and it's available, but maybe we're not having the right conversations to kind of prompt people about the seriousness around getting tested.
Yeah, that's definitely something we'll want to look at as we look at this series over the next couple of weeks. And then mental health has always been sort of associated with LGBT. I think, you know, back in the day, people thought it was because you were gay, but in fact, maybe you're just a little bit more oppressed and having to suffer alienation from family and from friends. And as you mentioned, not necessarily having protections around where you live or what job you have. So I assume all of that kind of contributes to, you know, higher rates of alcoholism, drug use. What kind of things did you find here when it comes to the mental health care and status of those folks that you surveyed?
Yeah, great question. So as I mentioned before, mental health and results around that were kind of some of the biggest disparities that we saw. As I mentioned, that individuals' respondents were more likely to kind of rate their mental health as fair or poor. And that was kind of true across the board, right? And those rates were higher among trans respondents and also respondents of color and people who are income, right? So we see those disparities for different groups kind of across all the results. But yeah, so we know that these disparities exist, and we know kind of, I mean, the rates of depression and anxiety were really noticeable. You know, it's almost like around 60 to 65% for depression, you know, about similar for anxiety, which is maybe about doubled or even tripled that of national rates. Wow. So we're seeing very high rates of kind of, you know, around mental health diagnoses, and the same thing for suicide and suicide ideation. So, and I think it is, but it is interesting to note too that people did have kind of who had access to mental health care. They did respond to those as saying they're more positive, like they had positive experience with mental health providers. So me to write that might clue in that they just maybe don't have the access to mental health care in the South or maybe in their region that they should, right? Because, you know, mental health care is kind of an interesting topic when figuring out who has access to it, how to get access to it. And so to me, maybe that says that people are having good responses or, you know, experiences when they have access to it. But if everyone doesn't have equitable access to mental health care, I think it's pretty apparent that we will see these disparities continue. And right, and we'll keep seeing these high levels of depression and anxiety if they don't have the access to care that they need.
And sort of overall access to care as well, you know, zooming out again, the whole picture of LGBTQ health. I know that many of the respondents said that they delayed seeking care because of the out-of-pocket expenses. Do you want to elaborate more on that at all?
Yeah, and I think that's probably true for, you know, a lot of people, right? You know, healthcare is expensive. The cost of, you know, getting healthcare and accessing healthcare is very pricey. But we definitely saw that among our respondents as well, especially those who make lower, you know, less than $15,000 a year. You know, getting access to healthcare was hard if they definitely couldn't afford it. That definitely impacted their kind of healthcare and their healthcare experiences, you know, having that lower income bracket or being a part of a lower income bracket just didn't open them up to the same kind of healthcare experiences as those of lower, of higher incomes.
One of the things that I've always kind of been interested in is how comfortable you feel seeking healthcare. It's not easy to find a healthcare facility, a doctor who will identify as LGBT. So you might, you know, an LGBT person might want to, you know, connect with a doctor who is also gay. But not only is it hard for to find those folks, but even finding a person who is, you know, outwardly willing to treat people who are LGBT or welcoming facilities. So I'm interested in how your respondents kind of felt about their comfort level seeking healthcare.
Yeah, great question. And for the most part, you know, individuals just seem somewhat comfortable seeking healthcare within their communities, right? But I think it all kind of goes back to the idea that maybe they didn't have the same access, right, based on different socioeconomic statuses, whether it is income or reality, you know, if they lived in a more rural area or based on their kind of gender identity. You know, people, LGBTQ people in the South, they kind of are uniquely aware of their own barriers or kind of uniquely aware of their own experiences. And that can kind of inform how they feel about seeking out care. And I think you made a good point, right, is you know, are people who are able to provide this kind of LGBTQ affirming healthcare, are they adequately kind of representing themselves, or that are they adequately kind of advertising themselves that they feel comfortable and they feel competent, right, in providing this care? I know in my own experience when I you know, recently lost my father and I was, you know, experiencing symptoms related to depression and anxiety, I knew I needed to seek out a mental health therapist. And fortunate enough, being here in Asheville, I knew I had access to individuals who, right, I could go online and find someone who advertised as LGBTQ kind of affirming, right? Mm-hmm. Right, so it's always, even to myself, something I always think about too when I'm reaching out to new medical providers is, will they feel comfortable and do they feel, will, are they competent enough to provide the care that I need based on my LGBTQ identity? Mm-hmm. And luckily enough, I was able to find a mental health therapist who definitely knew kind of the right things to do, the right things to say, kind of knew exactly how to work with me as a client based on my, you know, with regards to my identity, but that wasn't the main focus. But that definitely made, you know, kind of that whole process with the mental health professional much more tolerable on my end, right? As going through stuff, because I knew I didn't have to kind of focus on my own identity. Yeah. And a lot of people in the surveys kind of, you know, have that experience themselves, and they're uniquely informed themselves to kind of share that with them and their providers.
Right. You again, surveyed across all the states in the South.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine where you lived had a lot to do with how you responded as well.
Mm. So I think that's a great point. And in the report we kind of mentioned, right, it wasn't so much that state by state we saw a lot of differences. The biggest difference was kind of whether it was a more urban area or a more rural area. And those experiences were more shaped by your rurality, right? So, you know, people in more rural areas just in general kind of had more negative healthcare experiences. But people in more urban areas kind of had more specific experiences, right? We saw kind of like higher rates of HIV responses among more urban areas, right? So that tells us that maybe not so much state by state kind of dictated the healthcare experiences of these LGBTQ Southerners, as more so if they're in a more urban or rural environment.
Gotcha. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Is this the first report that's been done for like a sort of a overarching for the Southern LGBT folks?
That's a great question. So, as I mentioned earlier, there's just been a real lack of research around the experiences of Southern LGBTQ people. And there have been other efforts by other organizations. I think like Song has released a report about LGBTQ Southerners, and the Southern Institute at a university in Georgia has also released, you know, a survey around LGBTQ Southerners. But to our knowledge, this is the kind of largest survey of LGBTQ Southerners specifically focusing on healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
So other surveys kind of include healthcare, but kind of include other kind of aspects of life. But ours is, we believe, the kind of largest in specifically focusing on healthcare.
So it's a fascinating report. I encourage folks to go and actually check it out. It's on the Campaign for Southern Equality's website.
Yes, southernequality.org/survey.
And you can dig into it's, you know, a dozen pages or more, right?
Yeah. Yes. I believe the full report's almost 170 pages. So there's a lot to dig into. Yeah. There's a lot to dig into.
So, which is, again, it's fascinating, and I encourage folks to take a look at it if you have interest in these areas. But, what's the overall, sort of goal for this information? What do you hope, will come of it?
Mm, great question. So I think the overall goal is, we know, I mean, healthcare, it encompasses so many things, right? And, you know, it's particularly important to every individual, right? You know, the access to quality healthcare, the access to affirming healthcare. We know that is a critical and pivotal experience for every individual. And that's specifically true. You know, it's also true for LGBTQ individuals, and especially those in the South, right? And I think, you know, for me, the ultimate goal was understanding that there was a lack of what the healthcare of LGBTQ centers looked like, the lack of research out there. You know, the ultimate goal really is just to get that conversation started, you know, creating that picture, creating that kind of total, currently in 2019, you know, what does healthcare look like for LGBTQ Southerners? So hopefully, you know, through the Southern Health Initiative, through kind of this report, we can help kind of fill that gap of knowledge, fill that gap of kind of lack of information out there about LGBTQ healthcare, and really just get the conversation started, you know, and we provide recommendations at the end of kind of what everyone can do, whether you're just an individual in the community who wants to support an LGBTQ, you know, the community, or all the way up to, you know, providers. What can we all do to kind of make sure that LGBTQ individuals have the healthcare, the access to healthcare, and affirming experiences that they need to kind of feel, you know, solid in their healthcare?
Yeah, great. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to add before we let you go?
I just think that I am always want to say I'm eternally grateful to the, you know, 5,617 LGBTQ Southerners who took the time out of their day, who took the time out of, you know, who gave us their energy, who wanted to share their story with us, that allowed us to create the support. So I just always want to acknowledge that I really appreciate those individuals who took the survey. It allowed us to, you know, be here and talk about it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.